Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just worship Him one more time. Be ready to sing at the end here, folks. How many of you came here tonight to get something from God? I don't know about you, but you know, you go into the new year and you look at the last week of the new year and things haven't started out quite how we thought. But it don't have to end that way. Just because it starts out that way don't mean it ends that way. And I'm excited. I tell you, this week, I have struggled all week, Brother Hawk, with my throat. Tuesday and Wednesday, I couldn't hardly talk. And I know some of you may think that's not such a bad thing. And Sunday kept getting closer, and things didn't get any better. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I am ready to preach, and I'm going to believe that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to touch my throat. And I said, Lord, if you can just give me 30 minutes. 30 minutes, Lord. And I'm just believing that I was, this morning the pastor got up to preach. And I can't tell you how many times this happens. We don't always preach the same way, and we have different styles. But his message was almost, it's like he took my notes and just kind of added his own flair to it. It's a different title. But how many of you were here this morning? How many of you weren't here this morning? Okay, you're going to get a very similar message. You're just going to get it a little bit different way. All right, you may go ahead and may be seated. I'm believing that Jesus Christ wants to do something miraculous tonight. I have purposed in 2012 in my life, I want to see the power of God move more than He's ever moved. I want to feel the power of God in my life. I want to see miracles, not only in my life, but I want to see miracles in your life. I want to see miracles happen in this church, things that we have prayed about for such a long time, God is going to take and come through. And I believe it. I just believe it. And I'm excited and I'm encouraged in my spirit today because God is doing some awesome, awesome things. God is forever good. God is forever faithful, and God is forever full of mercy and grace. He's loving, He's just, He's kind, He's my provider, He's your provider, He's a way maker, He's a deliverer, and He's a healer. That is the God I serve. You may serve a God of alcohol, you may serve a God of cocaine or crack or anything else, but I serve a God that's a healer. I serve a God that's a peacemaker. I serve a God that is in business of taking broken lives and mending them, not taking good lives and trashing them. And if that's the kind of God you want to serve, then you've come to the right place. Because God can do and He will do anything in your life that you allow Him to do. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to come barging in and push His way around and be a bully in your life. He's going to be a perfect gentleman, and when you ask Him in, all you have to do is ask. I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a plan for each and every person on this planet. Since we're all here tonight, we'll bring that down a little bit closer. God has a plan for each and every person in this building. And as a family, God has a purpose for your family. If you're here tonight, and maybe all of your family's not here. Maybe you're struggling and your family is being torn apart. God has a plan for your family. You may not see it. You may not realize it. You may not understand it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm here to tell somebody tonight, don't throw in the towel just yet. It may appear that all hope is gone, that everyone else's lives are going along just fine. And my life is a train wreck. But I want to tell you, it ain't over. and don't give up just yet. Tonight, you may want to quit due to various situations and trials that you're facing in your life. However, God has blessings for you, and if you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you don't cry uncle, you will see His promises fulfilled in your life. If you have a hopeless situation in your life right now, hopeless because maybe what your doctor's saying, maybe your doctor's telling you that, you know what? I can't help you. I can't help you. Or maybe it's hopeless because your finances, your marriage, all of these different things, just because things don't work out exactly how we plan them doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. Doesn't mean that God is not at work in your life. No matter what your situation is saying, I can tell you that God is indeed at work in your life. He's at work in your life in this very moment. And the reason I know that is because you are here right now. That's why I know that God is working in your life, because you're here. You could be anywhere you wanted to be, but you're here. And tonight we're going to read from I'm going to kind of pop in and out of this passage. It's reading from Ezekiel 37, chapter 37. Give you a little bit of background under the circumstances of this story. Is Ezekiel lived in approximately the 6th century B.C., and he was a prophet of God, a priest, a prophet under God. And he was under exile of the Babylonians, and he was in Babylonian captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar, and somewhere between the years of 598 and 586 B.C. And as a young man, Ezekiel, as a priest in the nation of Israel, he was under the young king Josiah that was a godly king, a very young man and a very godly man, and he had grown up and had kind of cut his teeth, if you could say, on the priesthood during that time, and he saw some of the reforms that Josiah had done, and how he saw how quickly things began to deteriorate after the king's death, and how quickly Israel began to walk away from God. And during this time, we know that Ezekiel was married, and it seems historically that during the siege of Nebuchadnezzar from the Babylonian Empire, which was a very brutal, long siege, it took place over a period of approximately 2 years. 2 years, that during those 2 years of time, that somewhere in there, that young Ezekiel's wife had died. So he had great leadership and great faith in the leadership of his nation. And even though it seemed that all was not going well for the Israelites in Jerusalem, and the fall of Jerusalem, no doubt, as a priest, would have become and would have been a tremendous shock to young Ezekiel. And he would still be in mourning for his wife, no doubt, when the armies of Babylon marched into the city in approximately 586 B.C., and he was ordered to march off into captivity with many others of the nation of Israel that were not slaughtered there in Jerusalem. He was ordered to march off into Babylonian exile. And it seems that everything was going wrong in his life. It seemed that, no doubt, he was probably and possibly wondering, and you may be possibly wondering this tonight, what else can go wrong? Life has given me its worst blow. It has sent me reeling all the way back. And no doubt young Ezekiel felt the same way. What else can happen? What else can come and go wrong? Possibly asking the question he may have asked, where does all of God's promises we read in the Bible, and you may read in the same passage of scriptures that maybe he read of the promises of God and all of these things. And you may ask yourself, what's up, God? What happened? Where are all of these promises? All of the questions. My life as I know it may be over. He's a prisoner in a strange land. He has lost his family. He has no hope. And one day God speaks to him, and he was feeling down, no wondering what was going to happen next. And God said, I want to show you something, Ezekiel. I want to show you something. And God takes him and begins to show him a valley of dry bones. We We probably heard the story in Sunday school. We probably acted out the story in Sunday school. But they were dry bones and they were parched from the heat of the sun. And it was very evident in this vision that they had been exposed to the elements for some time. And God asked him in Ezekiel 37:3, he said, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Ezekiel, look out at this carnage. Look out at the death that you see, the expanse and the waste that is lying before you. Can these bones live? Can this process be reversed? Can those who are lying disjointed, scattered abroad over acres and acres of land, can these bones without life, can these victims of whatever catastrophe that has taken place, can they be brought back to life, Ezekiel, and can they live? This is very much a picture in our world today, in particular in so many of our churches today. There are people who have gone to church over and over and over and over again, week after week, month after month, and year after year. There are people who have gone to church and they have some form of a commitment. They're committed just a little bit. But when troubles come, and when trials come, and when the struggles come and hit them square in the face, it seems like they just say, I've got to lay down a little bit, Pastor, and rest. Can you just give me a little bit of a timeout, Pastor? Life has been tough. I've had struggles. All of these situations have come against me. But you know, so many times they never get back up. They stay down. They lay down and simply put, just plain quit. We find God speaking to a very downcast and dejected Ezekiel, saying to him, can these dry bones that you are looking at, Ezekiel, can they be brought to life? Can they once again have life restored to them? Can they be revived? At first glance, you would look at that as the same way I would look at that and say that the damage here, no doubt, is irreversible. It can't be done. This is a valley of scattered, dry bones. Not one of the bones was in its correct position to make a skeleton, let alone any tendons. There's no muscles. There's no organs. There's no flesh. There's no blood. Just a pile of dry bones, acres and acres of lifeless, parched, bleached bones. Ezekiel knew that he couldn't answer God too quickly. Even his state, he knew better. Yet, as he looked at the bones, and as he surveyed the scene that was before him, it became more desolate and hopeless. He says in Ezekiel 3, O Lord God, you know, Lord. You know everything, Lord. I cannot do anything. I know the task is too big for me, Lord. If I were able to match these bones together all in the right places, all I would have here, God, is a bunch of nameless, faceless skeletons. You know, Lord, I don't have the ability to do that, God. But God gives him a command in Ezekiel 37:4. God tells him, he says, Ezekiel, prophesy. Speak. Speak with authority. Prophesy to these bones. Ezekiel, speak the words. No doubt, Ezekiel, when God says prophesy to these bones, what am I supposed to say to them, God? What am I supposed to say? God says, Ezekiel, you speak the words that I give you. All you got to do, Ezekiel, is say what I tell you to say. Do as I say. And when I say go, these bones will live. Ezekiel, he did exactly as he was told. And when he did, we read in Ezekiel 37, 7 and 8, something very incredible began to happen. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I'm reading a paraphrased version. There was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together. bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the tendons, the sinews, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, and there was no breath in them. Notice that this was just not any movement of bones. It wasn't just a bunch of rattling out in the field, as a truck, large vehicle or something may drive by, or an earthquake and everything rattles. There was a movement, but it was not just any movement. It was each bone. Bone upon bone, each correct bone. Each bone came to the correct skeleton, in the correct place, in the correct order. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched any of these movies or any of this sci-fi and all of this police detective stuff on TV, but you find skeletons and such out in the woods, and over time, I mean, nothing is where it's just kind of scattered. So it's a miracle within itself that all of these bones came together in the right, correct order as Ezekiel watched this. And God says, Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the breath. The word breath and wind are interchangeable here. The Spirit of God, as we read in the Genesis, the Spirit of God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And that same breath, that same wind, that same Spirit of God breathed into this graveyard of bones. And as the wind began to blow, a miracle began to take place in that valley. God began to move. This place is a graveyard. It's a cemetery. These dry bones, we understand, represented a people, represented a nation, a people whose hope had long died, a people who had been dead for a very, very long time. And this is a situation where that there's no future, just bones. Nobody, just bones. No signs of any life. God asked him a question. And that same question God is asking you today. And today, if when you look at your situation, I want you to ask yourself, can these dry bones live? Can they live? Ezekiel looked at the bones and sees no possibility of a return to life. And Ezekiel said that there seems to be no human solutions for this hopeless situation, for they're very dry, and only you know, God, this type of situation. Only you know, Lord, that these bones can live. And Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. You know. And by saying, you know, he's telling God, I have no clue, God. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Because he believed, and I believe, that the situation that he was viewing was so far out of human comprehension, so far from the impossible. But Ezekiel hears from God. He receives instructions that he must prophesy and speak to those bones and tell those dry bones just exactly what God's word says. And tonight I want to preach to you the message, it ain't over until God says it's over. It ain't over in your life until God says it's over. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what your situation is tonight. It doesn't matter what you're faced with. It doesn't matter if you feel like quitting. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter if you've lost all hope in yourself. Don't fret. Don't stop. Don't worry, be of good cheer, because God has not finished the work he has started in you, and it's not over in your life until God says it's over. Ezekiel, he had to go down to the valley of the shadow of death and tell death that God was not through with these dry bones yet. There's still a purpose for the dry bones in the valley of death. The transformation of all those bones and the restoration all started by what? What happened to those dry bones? They heard the word of God. They heard. Now don't tell me, and I don't understand how a dry skeleton can hear. But they understood the authority. The word, the spoken word was the beginning of the process that brought these hopeless bones back to life. When we look today and our age that we live in today, our word is the word of God. Our word is the Bible. This is the power. This is the authority that ought to be in our lives on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, depending upon what situation we're going through. This right here, it's what we have to have in our life. If you don't have it in your life and you're not exercising it in your life, then you're in for trouble. That's probably why you're in the situation that you're in. The final outcome will come, only will come when God says it's over. Your friends, they may count you out. They may look at you and say, you know what? He's worthless. I'm tired of spending time on this person. Your friends may count you out. The enemy may tell you that you're a lost cause. The chance for victory may look impossible. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it's not over until God says it's over. Your turnaround may come when you hear from the Word of God, because the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Who is talking to you? Whose report do you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord? Have the power. Have the power. Words have power. The Word of God has power. Speak the Word. Speak the Word. Declare the Word. Live the Word. Breathe the Word. As Ezekiel began to speak to these dry bones, notice in verse 7, the winds began to blow, and these bones came to life. The mountains that are in your life, as you speak to those mountains that are in your life, as you speak to the situations that are in your life, you speak to them with authority and the power of the Word. And when you speak to them, all of a sudden, you're going to find out that there's going to be a rattling in the wind, and the power of God is going to move into your life. You know what? I'm here to tell you that money can hear. Speak to your finances. Sit down and say, listen, this has gone on long enough. Speak to your finances. Speak to your cancer. If you're here tonight, you know what? It doesn't matter to God if you have stage 1 or stage 4. It's not any harder for God to heal cancer than to heal a toothache. Ask Brother Noah. You don't have to ask any harder. You don't have to get up here and scream and yell and scream and hoot and holler. And the louder you scream, That maybe God will hear me above all the other prayers? No. Heart condition, speak to it. Diabetes, speak to it. I was up here on the second week of October, and I had preached, and I put this in my message, and I put it as number 1 in my message, because it's something that has plagued me for years, and I've shared my testimony with God healing my knee, and I was supposed to have reconstructive knee surgery and all of that junk a couple years back now, but I've had acid reflux, and some of you have given me all kinds of home remedies. But I want to tell you, I'm sick and tired of drinking apple cider vinegar. It's horrible. I said, God, I'm going to speak to acid reflux when I preach this message. And when I spoke to it, I haven't had one problem. I've gone to Chili's and I've had their jalapeno. I've gone and had buffalo wings with Brother Phil. I've drank Coca-Cola and gone to bed. I spoke to it with the power and the authority that's in this book. I'm not trying to grandstand tonight. God's teaching me some things. God's teaching me that, you know what? You have a problem in your life? Speak to it. You have a situation in your life? Speak to it. You got a sore throat and you can't preach? Speak to it. Diseases have ears. Command them. Command them. Command them. In the authority and the power of Jesus' name. That's what Jesus did. That's what the apostles did. Why can't we do it? Didn't Jesus say, greater works than these shall ye do after I go unto my Father? Isn't he talking about me? Isn't he talking about you? Aren't we an extension of that New Testament church? He Ephesians 3:20, what does it say? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, exceedingly, and abundantly, above all that we are able to ask or think. I've got some pretty high and lofty thoughts sometimes. And this scripture's telling me that he's able to do abundantly, above all that we're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. What is that power? You know what that power is? That's the same power that says, let there be light. I love it. We look at it and say, let there be light, and we grab our flashlight. But God says, let there be light, and there was light. Billions of stars, poof. Incredible. You look at it. Everyone thought that Brother Daniel in the lion's den. He was thrown into the lion's den, and God says, don't worry, Daniel. Don't you sweat. He's a 90-year-old man. He's cast into the lion's den. God says, don't worry, Daniel. It ain't over. I still got some work for you to do. I still got some writing for you to do. Get out your pen. Get out your paper. Excuse me, because I say it's not over until I say it's over. Those lions aren't going to touch you. They're not going to lay a finger on you. It's not over, Daniel, until I say it's over. We could go ahead and we could look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That same wicked king Nebuchadnezzar had a decree, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow down to the golden image. And as they were thrown into the fiery furnace, I'm sure they thought that this is probably going to be the end. But you know what? God says, don't worry, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because it ain't over until I say it's over. How many times have we used that story of encouragement over the years? It's not over until God says it's over. I look at Job. And poor Job, he had everything. He was a wealthy man. He had houses, cattle, all kinds of things. You can read the story. But all of a sudden, everything was gone. His family, his children were wiped out. He lost his cattle. He lost his oxen, his camels, his goats, his sheep, everything. He's sitting down on a broken down in the dirt. And he's got an old piece of pottery, and he's scrubbing himself, his sores. And his wife looks at him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job looks at her and says, naked, then I came into this world, and I'm going to leave this world naked. I'm going to trust God even if he kills me. And Job, God looks down at Job. It ain't over, Job. Don't you worry about it, Job. It ain't over, Job, because I said it ain't over. I'm not done with you yet. I haven't finished what I've started in your life. We can go ahead and read about Samson. Samson was one of those iffy type judges of Israel. He had it going and he didn't have it going. He misused his position. He didn't understand what he had really had. And he just kind of played around with God. He fell in love with the enemy. He sold himself out, and stupidity pretty much took over his life. And there you see him captured. He's captured by the enemy. He loses his strength. They take a hot poker of iron, and they take and they burn his eyeballs out. I can't imagine something so painful. And here he sits. He's tied to a grinding mill, and he's replaced a couple donkeys, and he has to take and push that grinding mill around and around and around every day in a circle as he grinds his enemy's wheat, and he prepares by his process. He's making them lunch. And God looks at Samson. And he says, in the state that you're in, Samson, don't you worry about it, my friend, because it ain't over yet, Samson. It ain't over because I said it ain't over. And he found repentance in that prison cell. And he began to talk with his Almighty God. And the day came when his enemy was having a massive party. And they said, let's go get Samson and let's make some fun of him. And by this time, his hair had grown back. And they brought him up, and they began to make fun of him. And he told the young lad, take me to the center of the arena. He can't see. He's feeling his way around. Take me to the center that I can rest my arms against the two pillars. And one last push, he had more victory in his death than he had in his whole entire life. But God said, it's not over yet, Samson, until I say it's over. We can go on and we can read about David. David being chased by Saul, living in the land of his enemies. While his men are out, the enemy comes in and destroys their families, and he hauls them off, destroys their camp, and David returns. And when he returns, he finds chaos. And his men, his mighty men of valor that have stuck with him for all of these years, now want to kill him. The Bible says that David went out and encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, he was to be anointed. He was already anointed king. He already had the anointing of God on his life. He's being chased by Saul, wanting to kill him. Here his own men, his best friends, want to kill him. And as he begins to encourage himself in the Lord, God speaks to him and says, David, it ain't over until I say it's over. It's not over in your life until God says it's over. It's not over until God says it's over. The pastor spoke about this just last Wednesday night about Mary and Martha, and how that Lazarus had died. And in the process, Mary had faith that if Jesus had been there 4 days ago, that Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Martha says, Lord, I believe that you're going to raise him again in the resurrection. Someday he's going to live again. But Jesus, he was looking at the here and the now. Jesus said, it ain't over, Mary. It ain't over, Martha, because I said it ain't over. And he walked over to the grave cave and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. You see, it ain't over in your life until God says it's over. I can see Peter. We all know the story of Peter as he denies Jesus Christ. And he's fallen on his face. How many times have we been in that position? I think we can all relate to how many times have we been in the position to where that God has blessed us. We've been to church. We've been with God. And we go out the next week and we betray him. People ask us about, are you a Christian? And we laugh it off. We're embarrassed by it. And here Peter is, laying on his face, denied Christ. God whispers to him, Peter, get up. Brush yourself off. You got a message to prepare. It ain't over, Peter. It ain't over. It ain't over until God says it's over. Most people are so willing to succumb to defeat. Most people are so willing and ready to throw in the towel. They think that it's over. And God is looking at you right here, and he's looking at you right now, and he's asking you, did I say it was over? He's asking you that question. Did I say it was over? Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And we've heard this song that the darkest hour is right before dawn. But you got to understand something. God doesn't need light to be powerful. He was powerful long before he said, let there be light. He didn't need the light to manifest his power. He was power. He spoke that light into existence. It's not over until God says that it's over. He can put your marriage back together because it's not over until God says it's over. If your family is broken and shattered and torn, it's not over until God says that it's over. He can take the church. If you're from a church and you're having struggles, it's not over until God says it's over. The dreams that you have, the dreams and the visions that you've had for your life, and maybe you're miles away from reaching those visions or those dreams. And God says, it's not over. It's not over. Did I say it was over? I don't recall saying it's over. Keep persevering. Keep moving. Keep praying. Keep fasting because it ain't over. Keep reading your Bible. Keep interceding. Keep trusting in God because it ain't over. Keep believing. Keep trying. Keep travailing because it ain't over. We got to keep living. We got to keep giving. We got to keep pushing forward because it ain't over. We got to keep fighting until the victory's won because it ain't over. When people say that it can't be done, it's impossible. Remember that He can, and He is the God of the impossible, and He says it ain't over. It ain't over until God says it's over. I can see God. I can see Jesus as He's dying on the cross. And I can just imagine the scene in hell. All pandemonium breaks out. He's just about to die. And I can hear in hell as it goes totally, deathly silent. Not a sound. And the only sound that can be heard is, "It is finished." And all of a sudden, a huge chorus rises up from the pits of hell. "He's dead. We've got him." Did you hear that? I heard it. What did he say? "It is finished." Oh, yeah. He bowed his head and he gasped his last breath. And then all of a sudden, there was a voice. "Hey, Satan, I'm over here. I'm over here. It ain't over. It ain't over yet until I say it's over. It ain't over yet in your life until God says it's over." Satan says, "Give me those keys. All of the death, give me those keys. To hell, give me the keys. To the grave, give me the keys. I've conquered victory. I have conquered death, hell, and the grave. I came to this earth and I conquered disease. I healed all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. I've shown humanity that, you know what? It ain't over until I say it's over." Jesus says, "I came to destroy the works of Satan. I came to destroy it." And if we could stand tonight as our praise team comes, I want to relate one last story. And the pastor almost told this story this morning. I think he was trying to. I said, "Lord, no, wait, just..." It's a story in the Old Testament. He made reference to it. King Joash, he was a king of Israel, and he was summoned the old prophet of God, Elisha. Now, Joash was a warrior. Elisha was a prophet. He wasn't a warrior by any stretch of the imagination. And the king desired to have victory over the Syrians. Elisha gave him an odd command. He said, "You're an archer, king. Take your bow and shoot an arrow out the window." So he picks up his bow and he shoots an arrow out the window. Now that just seems to be kind of a dumb request. I mean, think about it. Shoot an arrow out the window. I want to have victory over the Syrians. Shoot it out the window. But you know what? He did what the prophet had told him to do. Then the prophet looked at him and he says, "I want you to take your arrows, the remaining arrows out of your quiver, and I want you to strike the ground with them." So he took his arrows, and he no doubt bent over and feeling maybe a little stupid because he was the king, and he took his arrows and he just, three times, he strikes the ground. The prophet of God became furious at the king. He said, "You understand what you just did?" He said, "Because you only smoked the ground three times, I'm going to give you three victories over the Syrians, and that's it." And how many times in our lives, Brother James, do we come to this church and we sit, and when God asks us to smote the ground, we haphazardly, because we don't understand, just, "Okay, God, I did it. I smote the ground. What more do you want me to do?" This is what God wants. He says, "Smote the ground. Smote the ground. Hit it. Come on. Smote the ground. Come on. Every time you smote the ground, I'm going to give you a victory. Keep smoting the ground. And God's, how many times are we willing to settle? I've had a healing. I've got a problem. I've gone up twice and been prayed for, and God doesn't do anything. Get out your arrows. Let's smote the ground. Is it that hard? I know some of you have come down to this altar dozens of times, and God hasn't healed you. Smote the ground. Get out your arrows. Get down here. Start smoting the ground. God wants victory, because it ain't over until God says it's over.